Look, I know you've already achieved unheard of levels of success as an entrepreneur, so the real question is, while the world is radically shifting, how do we not get caught up in the chaos, but instead access our untapped capacity? You know what I'm talking about. I'm Katie Richardson, business coach to superstar entrepreneurs and host of What's Working Now. I'm here to show you how to unlock and magnify your untapped potential.
I think what I can say is, regardless of what it is we're creating, and this goes for you as well, we are in the dream business. We are in the dream-making business. Everybody is aspiring to achieve their life goals, their life, the dream. Yeah. You know, as a kid, you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what are your dreams? And what do you want to do? And if you think about it, that's at the base of everything we do.
Todd Dominic Krabari, you're a guy who's had 20 plus years experience in the film industry, and you are bringing that to this space of helping people to accomplish incredible things, tell their stories, be on stages. I want to know a little bit more about you before we hop into your expertise. So tell us the story of an experience that you feel has radically formed and shaped how you view the world today.
Wow. Well, I would say that, you know, I grew up with conservative parents, and my father is a very regimented guy. I wouldn't say introvert, but he's a lot more kind of less of a risk taker than I am. So I grew up in a household where it was just kind of like, you know, get up early, you know, go to the corporate gig and work all day and come home, have dinner, go to bed, and kind of do it over, you know, day in and day out. And I kind of watched that and I realized that I didn't really want to do that. I don't want to be like that. I wanted to do different things, work with creative people. I felt a different, you know, I couldn't just kind of sit in one spot and just kind of let people, you know, tell me what I needed to do. And I'm not saying that was my dad's life, but he worked for the aerospace industry as a contract negotiator. So it was very business grind and mm-hmm. corporate ladder and all that stuff. So when I was 15, you know, I wanted my own money. I wanted to spend money on stuff. And my parents didn't like to spend money like I did. So they were like, you got to get a job. So I was like, okay. And I put my antennas up. And I, at the time when I was a kid, I was into extreme sports type things, surfing, skateboarding, team sports, you know, and I met this guy because I had talked my dad into building a skateboard ramp in my backyard. And we said it was going to be small, and it became like this monstrosity. And they were like, what are you doing? Like, our backyard's gone. And, but this guy that had a local surf shop, he was a surfboard shaper and a skateboarder. He started hearing about it and he came over and started riding it. And he was an entrepreneur. And he was young. He was like 19, but he was like the one rebel in the area that was kind of doing his own thing and going against the kind of the big companies that were out at the time. Anyway, we hit it off and he offered me a job. So my first job at 15, you know, he asked me to work, and I literally ended up working there for maybe 7 years.
Wow.
And so my first exposure to entrepreneurism was this guy who had control of what he did, when he did it, when he traveled, when he did it, you know, what he bought, and, you know, all this stuff that I didn't see in my home, you know, where it was kind of like that again, the steady grind. And, I wanted
That's
that.
Super cool.
Yeah. I was around a very successful entrepreneur. He built a small little shop into a $1 million business, and I watched the whole thing happen, and I was a part of it.
That's super valuable. What's super cool is, as a young boy in your home, you saw how rigid and structured your father was, and you were like, yeah, that's not for me. But you're not necessarily oriented towards something else, right? You're running away from what you didn't want, and then in this incredible 19-year-old entrepreneur who hired you at 15, you started to be like, oh, that's what I want, which is super valuable. And I can only imagine the many lessons that you learned working for this young entrepreneur.
I wanted to add too, the new experiences that I had from his mindset, you know, the going to the beach early and traveling and exploring and whatever. And then one day he says, you know what? And I was a little bit older and he's like, let's go on a trip. And he wanted to go on a surf trip to Costa Rica. And I remember trying to tell my parents that I want to go out of the country and go to Costa Rica. And they were like, wait, what? No, it's not happening. What are you doing? And I'm like, no, I'm going. This is happening. This is so exciting. And we went, I ended up going, I got their support on it. And he showed me what it was like to travel. And we went on this adventure. I went in places I had never been. And, you know, that kind of gave me this spark to say, you know what, I want that freedom. And it also, which I wouldn't, you know, you asked me about perspective, but as life went on and I decided to go down the roads I did, because eventually I left what I was doing with him to pursue the creative, you know, filmmaking that I wanted, you know, and I started while I worked there shooting skateboarding and, you know, snowboarding and whatever adventures we were on, like snowmobiling in Alaska and things like that.
Cool.
I had an understanding of the entrepreneur mindset and the independent thinker and the small business. So every time I came in contact with a new project, I wasn't just making a video or shooting a photo to create some content. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was getting into this partnership and this psychological connection with each other and you know, motivating each other, because I understood their thinking. I understood what was necessary, and people started taking the conversations and the relationship in different directions, not just like, oh, when's the video done? You know, or, you know, give me a rough cut and let's get back to it. It's more like, hey, I wanted to chat, you know, pick your brain, or what do you think about this? Or I'm doing this, and what's your opinions? You know, and so I started to see that broader discussion, and I would have that very early on with new clients, you know, and they would be like, oh, okay, like, wow, okay, I learned something, or I had a conversation that I didn't think I would have. I thought we were just talking about cuts and music beds and compositions and, you know, styling.
This kind of going beyond the surface seems like a theme from what I know about you. And as somebody who has spent 20 plus years filming thought leaders, rock stars, authors, athletes, you've probably, I'm guessing here, developed a process or a system for really getting to the core of somebody's story and like helping them build out that story arc. And a lot of times when your story is your story, right? You're so close to it that you can't necessarily zoom out and see that story arc. I'm just going to talk for myself personally. Like sometimes I have difficulty feeling like I'm so close to my story that like, what's the bigger story? And I'm curious, what is your process when you're working with somebody to help them really go beyond the surface? And as you said in your bio, kind of even go beyond the brand shot, right? How do you develop that story arc and tell the story in a really meaningful way?
That's great. Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. And, you know, being in film school, I went to film school here in Los Angeles, and the exposure to that opened me up to storytelling, you know, as like the core of the medium. And I learned, you know, so sort of like the classic narratives, and then sort of like connecting to like knowing that everything we're watching and that everything a filmmaker or creator is doing is they're telling and trying to tell a compelling story. And so I had my learned experience from that as a base, but as I got deeper into working with speakers, you know, one of my clients is a story coach. Like his company is, you know, his main event is called Personal Story Power. That's Bo Eason. And So by working with him for the last decade, I've been able to really get coached up on what it means to get to the core of a personal story. And usually that story is the one story of yourself and your past that you probably don't want to tell, because we all have those defining moments in our life that take us down the path or change our path or change our direction. And so a lot of times I'm meeting people that want to tell me one thing, but I know it's something deeper than that, something that happened in their life that they're really not, you know, running with.
Because like they come to you because they have a more curated story they want to tell. And you know that there's a story they don't want to tell. But that's the story we need to tell, it sounds like.
Right. Because everybody's looking at what the forward facing stuff is, like the brand or the look.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about their, you know, superficial things. But, you know, what I learned was that it's the truth of those tough things that connect you to other people that that show that you're a real person and that you kind of been through a lot. And it's what you've learned most of your lessons through. We learn more from our losses than the easy days, you know, and our wins. You know, wins are great and they feel good and they inspire you and they propel you and give you momentum. But it's the losses that make you look inside and decide for yourself what needs to change or allow you to question, are you doing the right thing for your soul, you know? And I myself have been through a long journey, had some things happen in my life where, you know, it changed me at the core. You know, when in 2009, I lost my mother to cancer. And that was the most difficult time of my life. And I really started to look deep into myself, because it was hard to say goodbye knowing I hadn't fully reached my potential to show her, you know, and appreciate her for everything she put into myself and my family. You know, my parents were married their entire relationship, 43 years. It was a great example for me of how to be with a partner in that sense. But I don't think when I was a kid, I really valued that the way I could have, or her, until you start to realize it's slipping away, you know? So that changed me. And I realized I became a deeper man that wanted to be connected to people more and get deeper with people sooner and not put up the walls. Cause I definitely was a lot more standoffish, or I had my own barriers that, you know, and then I just realized that everyone's got their story. Everybody has that stuff. Everyone, if you just ask the right questions or you take the time to be curious and care, you know, instead of you looking at like, oh, this is, I'm going to make money and I'm going to work with a celebrity and I'm going to do these things, which is going to blow me up and I'm going to be a big deal. Like, you know, those are those dreams a lot of people have in this town. I grew up around it. So I wasn't the only one kind of doing the hustle. You realize that stuff really isn't personally gratifying, and that I determined for myself that relationships and connection and like being in the moment and all those things that are, you know, hot topics now and in buzzwords of the time, you know, I was kind of going through my process probably 10, 15 years ago in that zone, figuring this stuff out.
Well, let me hop in and ask a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as people are probably in the beginning, as people hired you, there may have been this conception that I'm going to hire Inspirio Studios to capture that brand shot and tell the story that I want to tell people. And you knew that you needed to go deeper with your clients. Was there any, you know, I'm trying to think, learn from you and also think about our audience and, you know, when people hire you to execute on a service,
They have some sort of conception of what you're going to do, right? Get that brand shot. And yet you know what they need is to go deeper and tell a story that maybe they've never told anybody, right? And there's probably a tremendous amount of fear and resistance and vulnerability that's having them hold that story close. What sorts of things are you doing to help a client move past that and tell this very secretive, vulnerable story on film? Like, I think there's something really valuable for anybody who's listening to this right now. You are being hired to deliver on, let's just call it that brand shot. And yet you know that what your client needs is beyond that. How do you get them from where they hired you for to that place where you know that's going to get them the result that they want? Sometimes getting them from where they hired you for and that thing that they want you for to that place where they actually need to go, it's not always easy, and it takes a lot of, I don't know, soft skills. What are you doing, Todd, to help them get from where they think they need to be to where they actually need to go?
Yeah. A lot of it. I mean, it's true. A lot of it's intuitive. I feel like one of the things I've developed and I think is one of my strengths is being able to see people or see something and kind of see the potential of what it is, you know, especially in a person. A lot of times, you know, if we're, you know, there's so many, whether it's a product or a person, it's going to be different. But if we're talking about, let's say a person, if I can see that they're not being authentic with themselves and they're doing everything in their power to put up all this time and energy into kind of like win everybody over and have everybody like them and do all this stuff, then I know that it's my job to kind of get them grounded and make them see that they're enough as who they are. They don't need to paint a picture or portray something thinking that that's what people want, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have never broken it down as deeply on paper as I probably should, because a lot of people do ask me about this process. But in an intuitive sense, what I tend to do is create the relationship first with myself and in the person. And then I get to know them so well, I'm kind of like processing and taking in all this information about what I think is their strengths, their weaknesses, and their truth, right? So not everybody needs to tell everything about their life, but at the same time, I try to get them to understand that being truthful and authentic with who you are is going to actually get you more connection to a broader audience and make people, you know, relate to what you do and who you are. For example, like I going into what I learned about you and in the product that you created, you did it out of a necessity. You know, you created a product out of a need, right? And at the same time, it's such a precious experience having a baby and the love for the baby. There's something deeper there about wanting that experience between you and your child and their experience of just such a simple thing of getting bathed to be this wonderful experience instead of this awkward, uncomfortable thing that you just kind of do day in and day out. And then you wanted to create it for yourself and then share that with other people, you know? And I think that there's, you know, if people knew that, like that another layer, I think that would be a more engaging and loving perspective on the product and in the story, not just like, hey, you know, I need to make this thing because the sink's uncomfortable.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's more to it. You're right.
I think this is so great. How you I mean, it took you a little minute to get there, but you said you create the relationship first. And I think there's a lot of things that can follow because that's where you start. As you truly see somebody, which it sounds like that's what's happening for you as you're working with somebody, you create the relationship first. That's the intention. Now that you see them for who they are, there's this kind of unspoken trust where they feel like, oh, I can let you in because you are seeing me. You're not judging me. You're not shaming me. We're still talking. You're still here. Yes. And that can then create the space for their authentic self to show up. And my guess is it sounds like you use a lot of your intuition to determine whether or not you've met the real Joe, so to speak, right? And you can tell when you're at the surface level with this guy or when we've started to get real. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, whether or not somebody feels like they're intuitive. I think we can all kind of tell when you're on the surface conversation or when we're having a real conversation. Energy shifts, even tone of voice changes, and you're able to create that moment in real life and then pull out your camera and really capture it. And to your point, when somebody gets into that place of authenticity, that's where their humanity shows up. And then that's where we as the audience or the person viewing whatever video that you're creating, we see that connection. And, you know, that's what you're capturing. And I think there's so much for everybody who's listening right now, whether or not they're trying to create somebody as a client, whether or not they're trying to help somebody get results. I think there's so, whether or not you're trying to negotiate, this process of leading with the relationship first, it's super valuable and on every level, right? And understanding that the person in front of you, maybe they're a potential investor, maybe they're the biggest potential partner you've ever had or customer. If you can lead with that relationship first, then people will start to let their walls down. You can start to develop trust with one another and you can have a real conversation. You can capture that human element, which then, you know, depending on whoever's business, whatever business we're talking about, then you can actually make progress. But until then, people have their walls up and you're not really dealing with the real problem or you're not really dealing with the real individual.
Yeah.
So I think there's a super valuable lesson there.
Yeah, so I think what I can say to that is regardless of what it is we're creating, and this goes for you as well, we are in the dream business. We are in the dream-making business. Everybody is aspiring to achieve their life goals, their life, the dream. Yeah. You know, as a kid, you're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what are your dreams? And what do you want to do? And if you think about it, that's at the base of everything we do. So I feel like every time I'm working with someone, I'm helping their ultimate dream come true. So to me, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna make this cool hip video for them. I'm thinking I can help this person achieve their dream, set them up, create wealth, abundance, happiness, build a family, travel the world, do all these things. And so I for myself get more passionate and go deeper into my process and project because that's the way I see it happening. You know, what, you know that saying, like how you do one thing is how you do everything. Well, I personally think everything matters. I like every detail. I mean, to me, nothing doesn't matter. So when people say, oh, that doesn't matter, or we don't care about that, it's like, Well, why not?
Yeah.
Why don't we? We should. I'm not trying to be like, you know, militant about it or overly demanding in any way. I'm just saying, let's care about that. Let's care about all of it because what if this is the last video I make? What if this is the last photo I snap? What if this is the last client that wants to work with me? You know, because there was a time in my career where it wasn't that easy.
Sure.
I wasn't, you know, getting referrals. I wasn't, you know, I didn't make a video in the darkness of my bedroom. And at one point my studio was in my garage and it was like, I have to just buckle down, get the job done. And then I'd have to put on a different hat and go out and get another job because I didn't have a functioning, you know, business that was operating on all cylinders. So it was hard. And so I can relate to people who struggle, who say this, you know, I made one of my first documentary films. I thought when I put this out there, the whole world's going to be so stoked in, you know, in this industry, and they're going to finally realize what we're doing over here and what my talent is. And it just, it bombed. It was flat. Mm. People judged the content. People judged the person I did the project about. And they, all I saw was and felt was the energy of like negativity or picking it apart. And so it was very underwhelming, and it was hard. It was hard to have that response and then go back to the drawing board and like ask myself, is this what I want to do? And am I good at this? And should I do that? And I remember for years, I just kept plugging away. And then, you know, I got a few opportunities. And one of them was to start doing some work for a musician, an artist named Ben Harper. And someone that I admired and I thought was amazing. Yeah. I loved his music. And that was so exciting because a lot of times the first projects I was doing was like commercials and music videos. Like I worked in the music video industry, just PAing and helping and just learning and all that. And I wanted to be the director. I wanted to do the project. So I started doing my own stuff on the side, but over time I started to get some connections and get some buzz or whatever. I finally got a chance to work with someone and I get a call, you know, cause I was doing some smaller content creation for them. And I get a call saying, hey, Ben's making a new album. There's a new single. And he wants to talk to you about making the video for it because he loves your work. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. At the time he was married. He was married to Laura Dern. Mm. And they were going to direct this video and create this project together. And I was super excited about what that can mean. But, you know, I hadn't never worked with on that level with those people who had been that successful. So
can we break a few things down? This is super good because I want to point out a couple of things that you talked about, how no matter what business that you're in the dream making business, which I love. I think that's so cool. And how everything is relevant. It's all a part of it. It's all playing a role. And so don't dismiss things. And, you know, you put your heart and soul into this project that totally bombed, totally failed. You could have retreated. You could have pulled back. You could have said, I'm just no good at this. Instead, you kept going. Even though you had voices in your head saying, am I any good at this? Should I keep going? Right? You made a decision to keep going. And, you know, whatever you were putting out there, there was a piece of you in that, right? And Ben Harper saw that. And so maybe until then, you didn't really feel like you were attracting the right clients. Maybe you didn't feel like you were doing what you ultimately wanted to do. But by putting a piece of you out there in the world, you started to attract the Ben Harpers of the world. And he was hand selecting you, which is super cool, saying there's something special in the work that you're doing and I want to work with you, which I think there's lessons for everybody in that. You know, to put your magic out into the world, it takes courage because your perspective is different than other people's perspective. And so that means you have to go against the grain. You have to do something that is unique to you. And that's terrifying because what if it does get rejected and you put your unique thing out there and it did get rejected? And so many people give up in that moment, Todd. They retreat, they pull back. Those voices in their head are just so much that they can't keep going. And I can think of my own times in my life when I faced those voices. And yet something had you keep going. And so you got this really cool project to do with Ben Harper.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say the point of the story was that when we actually worked together and made the video and we were in the process of editing and now sitting down and just being alone and talking, you know, he looked at me and he said, I see you, man. I love what you do. I see your touches. I see the art and it's great. And when he said that, and I don't even know if he knows like how it affected my journey and my my career, but that was the moment where I was like, this is a successful person who's done it all. And he's worked with everybody, and he could have hired anybody. And I knew all these big directors at the time that he could have been hiring to do it. But when he said that to me, I told myself that's it. I am doing my thing. I am great at this. And you know what? No matter what anyone ever says, they're just in the peanut gallery talking, you know what? And if he says it, I'm listening to him. I'm not listening to all these other people that don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I bottled that up, and that's to this day, that's in my soul that I'm great at what I do, and people can see it. And they understand the touches that I'm making anyway. So that's why.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So beautiful. And to get there, you had to choose to believe in yourself anyways, despite the failures, despite the struggle, despite the lack of resources and the difficulties and maybe not getting projects that you were excited about. You had to have the courage to put your art out into the world to share your unique gift and magic. And by choosing to endure, you ultimately got that, I don't want to say validation, but
it was validation for sure.
Yeah.
And I, that was 5 years after that other project I had made. So I had just kind of gone down that road. Look, we all try different things. We have different thoughts. Just nothing lit me up like the process of creating films and videos and content and art. I mean, it's art, you know, whether I'm taking a photo, or editing or shooting or lighting. Like, I just love creating something from nothing that was once just thoughts in our mind and trying to get, close as we can to that. And my dad had told me that some famous person, I forget who he always quotes, but he always says, look, nothing's perfect but the idea. So stop, trying to be, this perfectionist that's, and he's one, which is funny because I think he had to realize that, with his perfectionism and his OCD, and I have a little bit of that it's okay to strive for that, but you also have to give yourself grace and forgive yourself when it's a project. There's deadlines, there's budgets, there's personalities and dynamics on a job and a set and team to team and all this stuff. And you have to have you have to bend and understand, like, okay, this is what I'm working with. And if I had more time, or if I had more money, if I could hire more superstars, or if the teams were more skilled, maybe we would get there. But I'm pretty proud. As long as I'm proud of what I did with what I had, and quantifying those results, that look, we did great. And I'm going to be a bigger critic of myself than usually other people are. And that's why I'm good with other high performers and other obsessed entrepreneurs, because they're thinking, hey, they're always like, okay, don't think I'm crazy, but I'm doing it. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I love that idea. Let's do that. And let's do this, and this. Like, so we get along. And when I got exposed even deeper into, like what I said was high performers and coaches and experts in their field, I realized, like, I get along. I click with this, because people that don't care and people that are just kind of like going through the motions and looking things as like a job or a gig, I'm like, no, this is like my life. This is like, this matters. And let's do something big and leave a mark, or at least try, let's do that.
Yeah.
So it clicked. And that's why I get along with a lot of people that are, leaders of others or have big ideas, because I've always been around it.
Quick question for you. What would happen in your business and life if you could show up powerfully? As a coach to high-performing entrepreneurs, I help intelligent people like you do just that. And if you want to be inspired by people who are getting more done in 90 days than most people do all year, I'm going to invite you to go check out my case studies. The website is now.com. katierichardson.com/case study. And the cool thing is we've got so many case studies there. You can find an entrepreneur who's just like you. I've also got a link for you down in the show notes. Okay, back to the show.
And one of the ways that you support these leaders, whether it's authors, thought leaders, athletes, you help people get on stages using a sizzle reel. And I can understand trying to tell a story and a story arc in an hour and 30 minutes. How do you do that in 60 seconds? What are some of the key elements? And just, you can use my videos. I sent Todd some of my highlight reels ahead of time because I thought it might be helpful to get maybe specific on a few things. And whether or not it's relevant, we don't even have to necessarily talk about it. But I just thought, you know, just for personal reference, I get invitations to be on stages. I'm pretty selective on which stages I want to be on and which trips make sense for me. And how do you compress someone's life story into 60 seconds? That's the question.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, in you have to think of what your end goal is, and you don't necessarily always have to tell your life story, but you do have to get to the essence of what it is that you're sharing with your audience or how you're serving your clients. You know, I watch your videos and you and I had never talked before. And this right now is the first time I'm hearing your voice and really getting a feel for who you are. When I watched your videos, I didn't hear your voice. I didn't see you do your thing.
I didn't really even know.
I saw your looks. I saw your smile. I saw you on a stage. I saw you, you know, coaching people without sound. But then I saw people talking about you. But I didn't get anything, any essence of who you are or know how you do what you do. So if I was to hire you to be on my stage, I still didn't get, I don't know, you know, how you speak, what you sound like, how passionate you are, or what you know, and all these things. So I had to watch some other videos of you coaching that were separate from your sizzle reel, right?
Yeah.
To get this information. So the first thing I would say is it's missing that. So I didn't have any connection to you other than, wow, she must be amazing. All these people say great things about her and she's got a great look and she's had this success because I did the research on you, but I still didn't know what it was going to be like to hire you.
Yeah.
And inspire my audience or teach them and make them a better human or make them a better business minded success story. So they, you know, that's what I would first say is I was missing the essence and the sample of what you are and what you do. Okay.
Yeah.
But those videos that I did see, they were great at, you know, edifying you and showing how many people have been affected by your touch on their life and on their business. Mm-hmm. And that did have an impact on me. And I felt the craft of the videos. I saw some really good things in there. I liked the music was good. Nothing about the videos made me go, oh, that was an amateur or I would have done it like better, which, so I'm sure they've done their job and worked for you, right?
What's interesting is those videos that I send you are usually what gets shown right before I come out on stage. And
like an intro. Yeah.
Yes. And I thought, well, yeah, it also acts as a sizzle reel. And what I'm hearing from you is not at all. And it's like, as you're saying this, I totally see it. And it's super cool to see this distinction. Because if I'm looking to get on a stage, that's a different customer, a different audience, and therefore a different video and different story to tell than if I'm about to walk on the stage. It's totally different. And I didn't even see that.
No, and even right now, I'm talking to you and you're the way you speak and the way you're articulating and the way you're dissecting what I'm saying and then creating a framework around it. I'm seeing how your mind works. And I'm that's super impressive to me. So, you know, and in some ways you're like articulating my feelings because I'm a feeling type creative, and you're able to kind of like, you know, shape that into something that maybe other people would be able to learn from and understand a little bit better. And so I'm seeing your genius in this moment, but in your video, I will, for that purpose, that you're clarifying that that video wasn't made for that. We want that. We want to see that, because I'm not going to listen to 100 podcasts and I'm not going to go through all your videos. I want to pop in your video and in 3 minutes be so blown away of what that gave me that now I want more, and I'm going to dive deeper into all that other stuff. And that's just going to, like, you know, seal the deal and lock it in.
This is so good.
You know,
because, you know, I've been online. So I started my very first company in like 2007, 2008. I've been online social media ever since it came online, like 2010, 2011. And for me, I've noticed that something happens in person when somebody meets me in person. And whatever that is, frequently is not happening online, virtually. And I think we're doing a better job of capturing it, me and my team, on like conversations like this. Like, there's something about Katie that shows up when she's in conversation with somebody that doesn't necessarily show up in videos like what we were talking about previously. And I think they're like, I think I'm starting to see some things, and I think it's relevant even to everybody who is talking. Like, you said it there, like, getting to see how my brain works and the conversations that I'm having with a client and capturing that versus the literal highlight reel, which, to your point, yeah, sure, that's impressive. But like, do we want Katie actually speaking to our audience? Not necessarily. And
we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. Like, what are we going to get? You know, and you can I ask you a question, which would be,
go for it.
Like I would say to anybody in the process, it would be like, well, why are you not sharing more of yourself and your life experiences and your journey to get where you are openly? I mean, I know why we all kind of hide from it. I don't put myself out there nearly as much as I should. Mm-hmm. I tell all my clients to do it, but yet when I go to put myself on camera and do something, I get in my head like anybody else would. So I can relate to it. But if I were to ask you that and you were to like think about yourself, what would you say?
I don't feel like I'm trying to hide it. I don't. And if you went even back to the beginning of my podcast, I get very real and raw and honest, and I share my many failures. But like, why am I not sharing the other stuff? Oh, I know why. I have very private conversations with people. That's where the magic of Katie shows up, is in the private conversations with people. That is sacred territory that makes my clients extremely vulnerable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I really respect that privacy. And so I honestly, like, I've run into this a lot, because Todd, I've been coaching people for 8 years now, and you would not believe what happens on these calls. But in order for that to show up, and in order for that to happen, they have to know that they're safe with me, right? And so for many years, I didn't talk about my clients at all. I didn't want to get anywhere close to overstepping that commitment and promise to them.
Right.
And it's only been in like the last couple of years, one, that I've even started recording my coaching calls with them, but two, that I've even dared to ask them, can I share some of this? And my clients were coming to me for years saying, like, please tell people about what you're doing. And what's interesting is I would tell people in video, and it was almost like that highlight reel. It's like, yeah, but no, like, it wasn't coming across. And so actually capturing those moments of huge realization and the transformational epiphany, that's been really valuable. And I just have so much appreciation to my clients who are so willing to then share that with people.
Yeah.
So
and I relate to
capturing
you.
Some of it.
Yeah, you are. And what I was saying what I relate to in that, and you were touching on it there, is that you get hired to coach someone for business, and to do what you do, you have to go much deeper, and you start peeling them back, and you start to realize why they're not succeeding or achieving, or they feel like they're an imposter, or they feel like they're not good enough, or, you know, all these like internal things that you have kind of have to help repair a little bit and get into some healing and then get over that and then move forward, you know? And I've noticed too, that I've worked with a lot of people, and the biggest difference between the super successful ones and the others is not the idea or the product. It's their personal belief in themselves. And so when I see someone's potential and I see that they can be just as big as anybody else, I have to go there with them and help them with the belief and be the cheerleader and be the inspirer. And that's why I named my company Inspiro Studio. Inspiro is the spirit that breathes through you. It's the, everybody has that inner breath that's telling them who they are, what they should be, where they want to go. And I had that with myself in life. I've talked to enough people to know they have it. So I know that everyone's got that. And that's what I'm trying to kind of, you know, mingle with and dance with and find out what that is, and then help them, you know, soar and fly with it and believe in it. Because, you know, the lack of belief is just the dream killer, you know, and you can't have that. And sometimes I'm sure you do the same, because you're so, you have your success and you're so confident in all this stuff. Your clients tend to be around you, and then they're going to use some of that belief and use some of that strength to like heal them to a place that now I can do it. So I kind of do that a lot with people and fire them up and let's go. And today's the shoot day, or, you know, whatever we're doing, or our event. Cause I don't just make videos. I do live events, live switching. We edit, we do live streams. We do all things for a business that you would need from your content creator or your multimedia director, and tech director. So there's so many things like making a video with all the time in the world, with all your archive and all this one thing. But when you know you got to be on a stage or be live on camera and perform, it's not like fake. But you're still showing up as your best self. That's different.
Yeah.
The blood starts cooking, the energy starts going, the heart rate starts. I mean, I'm behind the scenes and I get fired up. My adrenaline spikes and I like it a lot. You know, it's fun. You feel alive, you feel vibrant, you know?
Yeah.
But some people freak out and get so nervous and they let their nerves get the best of them.
Yeah. It's super cool to talk to another creative. It's rare actually that I have another creative on the podcast. So I really love your perspective, leaning into your intuition, being in the business of making dreams to come true. I think that's super cool. Leading with creating relationships first and recognizing that it's all relevant. I think you've taught us a lot of really incredible lessons today, Todd. And, you know, you've got Inspiro Studios. We'll have a link to that in the show notes down below. Where are you active on any social channels?
No, I mean, I have Inspiro Studio on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, that's, you know, for years now, everybody's telling me like, you know, you're so good at creating for other people and doing whatever. Why aren't you doing that? And I hear it all the time. And, you know, I really need to do that in the new year is sort of lead by example and sort of get I think I'd be better at what I do if I could feel and understand more about what it takes to do all that, like my clients have to. So it's something I need to do more of. I'd like to get more exposure in that sense, so people feel like they already know me better before they meet me, not just through a strong referral or whatever. But I'm on there. And that's why this is really fun for me to talk to you, because it's something that I want. I guess it's just everything starts with a desire, right?
Yeah.
And when you start believing that and really feeling that, things just start to happen. Things just start to, you know, attract, so to speak. And here we are. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Todd Dominic Krabari. This has been an incredible conversation. And for everybody who's listening, this is What's Working Now.
Thanks for listening to the What's Working Now podcast. If you found today's episode to be interesting, be sure to share this with a friend. And if you are looking to level up your organization as a CEO, I'm going to invite you to join the Now newsletter. This is a weekly newsletter. I send it out on Fridays. I tell personal stories, talk about what it's like to build a significant business while raising a family, homeschooling kids. And I even share case studies, very timely, relevant situations where I go into detail how I am helping entrepreneurs navigate, lead, and build incredible organizations. You can get all of that behind the scenes information and more inside the Now newsletter. I've got a link to it right now in the show notes, and I will see you in the next episode.